The Voice America Business Channel is brought to you by Intercall, the worldwide conferencing leader. Check out easy and reliable conferencing solutions at www.intercall.com/radio.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson, and we're both from the Recognition Management Institute. Today, I'm excited about another good show. Roy, how about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm always loving the fact that we can dig deeper and peel back this onion on the important topic of employee recognition.
Well, I don't disagree at all. Our guest today is Dr. Paul Marciano, the author of Carrots and Sticks Don't Work. That's a pretty serious title, which we're going to dig into. But before we get to Dr. Paul Marciano, we want to talk also about another guest we have on the show today as well, Roy, and that's mm-hmm. Ryan Maddox, the program manager at Wells Fargo. And his work there actually is all about creating, you know, the training and coaching and strategic planning and programming to make sure that recognition is really all about a rich culture at Wells Fargo. He's a certified recognition professional, and he's an instructor there at the Recognitions Professional International. And he happens to also be the chairperson for this year's upcoming conference. The RPI, or the Recognition Professional International, was created in 1998, and it's the only association dedicated solely to the advancement of recognition in all workplaces. So we're delighted to have you on the show here today, Ryan, and want to find out, Wells Fargo won the RPI Best Practice, Best in Class Award in 2007 for two categories, which there's a number of measurements that are done there. And then in January 2009, in the midst of a recession, Wells Fargo and Company actually completed its merger with Wachovia, and you had an enormous distribution system of services and stores nationwide. How has the merger and the recession and all of this impacted your culture and specifically your recognition and how you do recognition at Wells Fargo?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Max. Well, we've seen a change or two, that's for sure, the last few years, and certainly had to get more creative with what we were doing. Speaking of RPI and this three-dimensional model of recognition, really focusing that creativity on the day-to-day and informal recognition that we were providing to team members. So in terms of the merger, you know, thankfully both organizations already understood the value of recognition and really wholeheartedly embraced it. So I feel very lucky and fortunate that was the case. And in fact, and it continues to be one of our core values, so that alignment of recognition to the core values of the organization is there. Wells Fargo, in fact, believes in people as a competitive advantage, and we empower team members to develop their strengths, so their unique strengths and talents. And we use recognition strategically, of course, to reinforce those strengths. So everyone on the team should know they're valued, and they can go as far as their ability and their desire to do some hard work will actually take them.
I love what you just said around that, Ryan, because not easy. I mean, big mergers, lots of people, lots of reasons why this should be very hard to do, and yet you believe it's a competitive advantage, and I do believe that. I mean, I hear from so many different stories in the news and from you and others as well around Wells Fargo that makes it a special place to work. How do you keep that safe? How do you keep it going?
Well, it is the focus on the team members because we understand the relationship between happy team members and happy customers.
Yeah.
And, of course, we want to do what we can on the employee front and of course, for our customers to be the best in the premier financial services industry. And I think that also translates strategically to developing our team members, the relationship they have with their customers, and we are all about building relationships. And, of course, as a business, that makes us more successful. I think, really, because the organization has grown and we are so large, close to 280,000 employees now, I should mention, too, that the big overall bank is actually comprised of over 80 different businesses or 80 different business lines. So we've actually created internally a community of practice groups for all of the recognition professionals or recognition program managers across the organization so that we can get together and leverage best practice ideas, build in consistency, make sure that we're limiting redundancy, and looking for ways that we can formally recognize people across the organization, but also focus on the individual needs, if you will, of those 80-plus business lines, because they can be unique from time to time in terms of how
you
we
bet.
Recognize individuals, certainly.
You bet. And let's transition that now with your involvement with RPI, and particularly this year as the conference chair for the upcoming conference. In the next minute or two, could you just give us a highlight or two on what's this upcoming conference all about, and why are you excited about it?
Well, absolutely excited and so passionate. And everyone that knows me knows how passionate I am about RPI, really the mission and vision of the organization. And, recognition has an undeniable impact. And when it's strategically aligned to the organization's vision and values, we see that success. And RPI really helps to enforce that through tools that they provide, resources, and absolutely education. You had mentioned the Certified Recognition Professional, the CRP designation. We're the only organization that offers that, and that aligns to the 7 best practice standards that RPI has created for recognition. So mentioning the annual conference, this is the 14th annual conference, and we'll be meeting May 1st through the 4th, coming up quick, and we'll be in San Antonio, Texas this year. And this is a sharing conference where all of our members have an opportunity to get together, members, recognition professionals, resource providers, and have exposure to different keynote speakers, different sessions, everything from networking to enrichment and empowerment and engagement of team members and creating that culture of recognition at work. And I've been a member of RPI since 2005. And luckily, I have just an incredible manager that supports me in this, is also a member of RPI. And I also am happy to say that we've got executive sponsorship and a leadership team that really believes in recognition and, as a result, really helps me drive that strategy throughout our business line in partnership with RPI.
Well, I love what you're doing. I love your energy. Your enthusiasm is infectious. Comes across the line.
You too.
And we are delighted, obviously, to have you on and to talk about that upcoming conference. If someone wants to go to that conference, where would they go to find out more information or register?
Oh, absolutely. Online, we have a website, obviously, for the organization. Recognition Professionals International can be searched on. Also, the URL is www.recognition.org. And there's a link to the conference details right on the homepage and a note from our current president.
Well, and in terms of full honesty and disclosure, Roy and I are big fans of the conference. We've both spoken
Absolutely.
At the conference and look forward to going again this year. We'll see you there.
I can't wait. Thanks again
thank
for
you.
This opportunity. Take care, everyone.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for being on the phone with us and taking some time today.
My pleasure.
Cheers. Let's welcome Dr. Paul Marciano now. May I call you Paul? Is that all right?
Absolutely, of course. I only
Paul,
make my
you.
Family members call me doctor.
I love it. Paul, let me introduce you to all of our listeners, because as we talked, and obviously we wanted Brian to be able to share what he does and what a cool thing, you know, with Wells Fargo, and I want to get your thoughts on what you just heard from what Wells Fargo is doing in
you know, context of what we're going to talk about. And so let me bring up what you're doing here as an author and a consultant and a speaker of leading with respect. A leading authority in employee engagement and retention, Dr. Paul Marciano earned his PhD in clinical psychology from Yale University. I don't know if many people have heard of that particular organization. Where he specialized in behavior modification and motivation. He served on the faculties of Davidson College and Princeton University, where he's taught courses in leadership, industrial organizational psychology, survey development, research methods, and statistics. He's worked in the field of organizational development for over 20 years, and in 2003 founded the human relations consulting firm Whiteboard LLC, a company committed to helping organizations cultivate, manage, and grow their human capital through executive coaching, training, facilitation, and in workshops. And what drew my attention, Paul, frankly, was this new book that you have out, which is Carrots and Sticks Don't Work, Building a Culture of Employee Engagement with Principles of Respect. So let's talk about that if we can. Where do we begin? Let's start right now with what did you hear with Wells Fargo there, and then we'll get right into the book and the title there. But anything intriguing from what you heard from Ryan?
Yeah, you know, I actually was taking a few notes, and some of the things that really are just terrific are one, the fact that it's part of their core values.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and it's not only part of their core values, because there are a lot of organizations that I work with that, you know, you'll ask them to see their mission or their value statements and they blow the dust off of it. It's just existing on paper, but they're really living it. And the most important part of doing it is a day-to-day basis. So it's about really coaching and training and mentoring, giving that feedback and recognition every day, just like a coach would. We're in the NCAAs right now, just like Mike Krzyzewski would from Duke, right, with his players on the court. That's that's what makes recognition so powerful.
Absolutely. And for me, what sticks out is this book and this title you bring out of it, because there's a lot in this recognition space that talks about how do we motivate, how do we bring it out for people, how do we recognize and appreciate employees. There's a lot of opinions out there, and some of it, I think, might be doing more harm than good. You've tried to debunk some of those myths, and I'm grateful that you would join us for this conversation. We have to take a quick break, but before we do that, I want to get just a precursor to what this is all about. Why would you write it, Why Carrots and Sticks Don't Work?
Well, I think that you're right, that there were a lot of misnomers out there, a lot of strategies that I saw organizations using that just went against the science and the research. And in fact, not only were they ineffective, I would ask organizations, well, where is the ROI on the kinds of programs you have? And they couldn't show me. And I suggested, based on research, that it actually decreases the overall morale and productivity of the workforce. And it's something I'm passionate about, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you about.
Well, I am grateful you're here. As we mentioned a moment ago, it's Dr. Paul Marciano, and he's talking about why carrots and sticks don't work. He has the research to back it up. When we come back from this break, we will continue that conversation and get into it deeper. You're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and Max Brown, and our guest today, Dr. Paul Marciano, author of Carrots and Sticks Don't Work. And Paul, as you were starting to kind of just share there briefly with Max about the what you've observed about traditional rewards and recognition programs, you say that they can do more harm than good. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a number of reasons that reward and recognition programs, again, not only fail to actually motivate, but actually can demotivate. And some classic examples would include team settings, where there is, you know, one winner that's going to be selected. So you can imagine that, especially in situations where the prize has significant monetary value, where team members who were supposed to be cooperating and getting along with one another are actually competing with one another. Mm-hmm. And then if you have the individuals that really do give forth the extra effort and are not recognized or not reinforced for it, their behavior actually decreases. Their level of discretionary effort actually goes down as a result of feeling as though they haven't been respected.
Mm-hmm. So what would you suggest some alternatives to some of these programs that have been in existence, especially from this whole reward context?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not suggesting that individuals who are high performers are not recognized at all. They should be recognized. The point is, if we're trying to maximize our workforce, maximize the potential, there are other strategies that need to get used. And let me, if I can, just back up and give you a premise of my work.
Okay.
My premise is that individuals come to organizations in a state of readiness to engage. Okay, so people don't typically show up their first day of work and think, boy, I can't wait in 6 months. I'm just going to hate this place. I'm going to hate this job. I'm going to hate my boss. You know, people don't go out on first dates and go, boy, I can't wait 6 months from now when we have restraining orders and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Right? People join organizations or accept new positions within organizations because they anticipate that it's going to be a good move for them, right? Mm-hmm. They're hopeful. They're looking forward to make a contribution. You know, I fundamentally don't believe that individuals just want to do the worst job they can or just collect a paycheck.
Right.
So the question is really, if employees come to us in a state of readiness to engage, then what happens, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we know that such a large percentage of folks, not only in the U.S., but even in other countries, it's worse. Places like the U.K., I've read some recent studies on motivation. So what happens? And for me, and maybe because of some of these programs that are put into place, people feel disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel disrespected on a number of levels.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, when I think of the team context that you brought up, would you say it's all right to, you know, I mean, if I think of up here in Canada where we love our hockey, you know, you've got the typical scenario in the National Hockey League where, they know the score, they know the points, so the team knows whether they win or don't win. But then they have like the most valuable player, you know,
exactly.
The star performer for the night. Is that the right way or bad way?
Well, it's such a wonderful point that you bring up, right? Because in our sports and in our organizations, we talk about the importance of teamwork,
right?
And yet, who gets the recognition?
Mm-hmm.
You could argue mm-hmm. that the high scorer, in some ways, may be the least team-oriented player. I mean, it's awful rare that you have somebody who's the high scorer and also has the most assists.
Okay.
Right? So what is it that we're really paying attention to when we're trying to motivate people?
Mm-hmm. So you think that companies sometimes get that confused when they're doing it in the workplace with employees in the same way?
Yeah, I think there's not enough attention being paid to individuals that are actually allowing, in some ways, for the top performers. I think more than anything, that what happens is that we have individuals who are going to be successful, and in some ways, no matter what environment they're in,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be successful. And what happens is that we don't give enough attention to the mediocre players. Think about it like this: you brought up the analogy of a sports team.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets the most attention from the coach, the good players or the bad players?
No, it's the good players.
The good players, of course, right? Now, they're already the good players. They're already giving you pretty high levels of performance. That's why we call them the good players. But where the real opportunity exists is in developing those lower-level players. Those are the ones that can bring really more overall value and skills to the organization because there are more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we simply, I think, ignore them. We ignore them on all kinds of fronts, and in particular in the areas of recognition. And the more they fail to get recognized, the more they are identified by their peers and management and even themselves as, you know, losers in the organization, of course, the less effort they're going to contribute.
Right, right. Now, you've indicated that, you know, obviously new employees, existing employees should already really be in a state of readiness to engage. And that word engage or engagement has been defined in so many different ways. How do you define it there, Paul?
Well, you know, what's interesting is the fact it has, and it's really problematic in the literature. There are at least 50 and probably many more than that conceptual definitions of the term. The way I define it is it's the state of really being in flow in work
mm-hmm.
and is exhibited behaviorally by increased discretionary effort, particularly in areas that really matter. So what we don't want is people just being really busy for the sake of being busy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, but they're really making contributions that matter. The field and research field and the consulting field around this, again, is very problematic. What's even more problematic is that I find is that many people fail to even understand the difference between what it means to motivate somebody and engage somebody. And those are two fundamentally different concepts.
Yeah. And how do they get confused? Can you give us some examples?
Well, people are just interchangeably using the word. You know, it seems like, you know, the idea of engagement has become quite popular over the last decade. And so I find that both consulting firms and organizations are trying to use the same methodology, the same programs to engage people. They try to motivate people, and they never work to motivate people, and they certainly don't work to engage people. And for the listening audience who may not be, you know, spend their life like I do around these issues, a way to think about it might be as follows. You know, when we talk about motivation, we're really talking about creating, you know, the external carrot.
Right.
So it's all focused on extrinsic rewards, you know, and it has the tendency to wax and wane quite a bit. So the level of motivation then depends on a what's in it for me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Versus engagement, which is much more around the idea of being committed and loyal and dedicated. And the best example that I can provide of that is if you were to imagine watching a work team, group of folks engaged in creating something, and they had a deadline, right, like midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And if they reached that deadline, good things were going to happen. They were going to get rewarded, recognized in some way. And in the 11th hour, something happened, and it became clear that they were not going to be able to complete their task. Now,
right.
Up to that point, while I'm watching, it appears to me as the observer that everybody's really motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And then something goes wrong, and then we have two groups of people. We have the group of people that look down at their watch and they go, oh, well, we tried. It's time to go home. And then we have the group of people that go, well, what is it that we can get accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the engaged people, right? Engaged employees are hardy. So that despite, you know, the environmental problems, the economic problems that come our way, they stay in the ship, they're rowing, they're in the game fully, Whereas the motivated employees, situational conditions really impact the level of contribution they're willing to give the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've looked at motivation from this extrinsic side, the external kind of reward factors, and engagement here being this more internal. Would you say that recognition can also be more of an intrinsic, the whole appreciation and pride factors, that is certainly something that organizations can draw upon?
Yeah, you know, that is such a great question and issue. I'm so glad that you brought it up. One of the things that I really emphasize with clients that I work with is the importance of making sure their employees take pride in their organization. In fact, one of the simplest questions that you can ask somebody to get out their engagement is, to what extent are you proud to work for this organization?
Mm-hmm.
And that will tell you tons. And I don't think that managers, supervisors, leaders do spend enough time helping the employees really connect, helping them to connect with that what they do really matters and makes a difference for the organization and for the customers.
So obviously we're all seeing different results coming out, whether it be from the conference board or elsewhere, that satisfaction and engagement levels are low, and yet you do a lot of work with surveys. How are these surveys falling short, and why is this so important?
The surveys in general, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me give you an aside. One of the reasons that our field, and I say our field, I'm referring to the field of industrial organizational psychology,
mm-hmm.
that it's so problematic is because it's really driven by consulting firms that are concerned about making money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is such that when somebody develops an instrument of some sort, they copyright it and they protect it and nobody else can use it.
Right.
And oftentimes, the people that develop those surveys are not necessarily experts in research and development and analysis and statistics and survey development, which is, you know, again, something that I was trained to do and taught. And then we end up with this Tower of Babel kinds of situation where we have all these different definitions, and many of the surveys, quite frankly, don't have the kind of empirical scientific rigor that would pass, you know, pass the test of, quite frankly, a psychology undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most blatant errors that I see in surveys is this confusion of what I call the symptom and the cause. So for me, when you're talking about engagement, you're trying to measure what is it? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And one of the example items for me is the time of the day passes quickly at work.
Right.
And I think lots of folks can relate to that. Times when they've, you know, worked really hard, got to the end of the day, may have been exhausted by it, but said, boy, where'd the day go? And contrast that with when you've been somewhere and you've been really disengaged and you're like watching the clock, right? You know how painful that feeling
mm-hmm.
is?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, this day is never going to end. I'm never going to get through this. That's a state of being disengaged. And a lot of the surveys discuss things like relationship with a supervisor, or even, you know, you have a best friend at work, or you have the tools and resources you need to succeed. All of those may be very important and correlated with engagement, but they're not actually measures of engagement.
Good point.
They're drivers of engagement.
Yes. Okay. Well, listen, Paul, I tell you, if there's one thing, time has been going by quickly on this wonderful conversation so far, and it looks like we're going to have to take a quick break at this point. But please join us back in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we continue our discussion with Dr. Paul Marciano more about why carrots and sticks don't work. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Sonneson and Max Brown.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio. Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and myself, Max Brown. And, of course, our guest today, Dr. Paul Marciano, author of Carrots and Sticks Don't Work. Paul, as you were finishing that segment with Roy, you had talked about the difference between a measurement and a driver, suggesting that the drivers of engagement were some of these things you talked about before, but how does that reconcile then with how should we measure engagement? And you talked about pride of work and how people feel proud at work. Is that one of the measures?
It would certainly fall into what I would call a symptom of engagement, and it may sound very funny or odd thinking about it in those terms, but if we use a medical analogy, imagine going to your doctor and you have a fever and a runny nose, all right, and your pulse may be up, and those are symptoms, and what they determine from that is that you have the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't actually seen the virus that caused that,
mm-hmm.
that led to that. That's not what determined their conclusion that you had the flu.
Okay.
Right? That may be a driver of it. But when you confuse the two of them, you're not able to get a valid measurement of the actual state because there are all kinds of different drivers for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really creates this kind of mess, if you would, of because here's the issue. Here's one of the major issues. If I'm going to go in an organization and I am going to help them to increase their employee engagement, then I need to be able to distinguish between the measure, the temperature, and the drivers, because I am able to go in and then do a diagnostic assessment on of the drivers that are causing the decrease, which are having the most impact. Do you understand the relation between those two?
Yes, and so what would you try to measure then to get that temperature?
Yeah, so for me there's again a separate instrument which talks about things like having pride in your work and the day passing quickly. And then there are the respect model, and if I might talk a little bit about that.
Please do. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so about 10 years ago, I was asked to give a presentation. And again, my background academically is in motivation theory, and I know a lot about motivation theory. And I had been reviewing all these different models, and I realized that one of the reasons I left academia was because it was still, quote-unquote, academic. It wasn't going to have the kind of impact that I really wanted it to, talking to these different international manufacturers. And I just kept distilling down from each of the models, what was really the core driver? And what I arrived at was this concept of respect. So I'll ask your listeners to think along with these questions. Ask yourself, when is a time in your life that you really respected the organization that you worked for? You respected its mission, its vision, its values, its goals, and you were proud to say, I work for this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Think about a time in your life when you respected the leadership of the organization, especially your supervisor. You viewed him or her as somebody who was there to support you and grow you, develop you, give you a pat on the back when you deserved it and a kick in the butt when you needed it. Mm-hmm. A time in your life when you respected your fellow team members. Everybody was competent. Everybody was pulling in the same direction, supporting one another. People were not talking about one another negatively behind each other's backs. A time in your life when you respected the work that you were doing. You took pride in your work. You viewed it as fundamentally meaningful and challenging and valuable for the organization and its customers. And finally, a time when you felt respected by the organization, that you felt that you were listened to, that your work was appreciated and valued.
Mm-hmm.
So when I ask people that, if I call it the circle of respect, and say in an audience of 100 people, who here is in a job right now where they can say that all of that is true for them?
Mm-hmm.
And two or three people may raise their hand and they have a big smile on their face. And what I say is, you know, I know for them work is not a four-letter word.
Mm-hmm.
That they actually enjoy going to work, that they actually see the contribution that they're making. And and what's frustrating for me is that it's an entirely different experience and way of living your life when you're happy to go to work. And we can do that for a lot more people.
Yes. And this is what's interesting for me, is that as you talk about these things, we both know that there are those very few that get to raise their hand around this principle, around this concept of, you know, are you proud of, say, where you work, or about your employees or your colleagues, or any of these questions you just asked.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do here? Because it seems like, and a lot of this research, and I'm sure a lot of the motivational theory you have studied, obviously, to be where you are, you know, a lot of this has been around for 50, 60,
yeah.
70 years.
It is so frustrating.
It is.
I can't tell you. One of the things I've done recently in presentations, I've got one of these new smartphones, and
uh-huh.
I'll hold it up, you know, at the end of the presentation, especially when I'm with human resource kind of folks, and say, you know, I've got this technology here that does everything but my laundry. I say it's just extraordinary what this technology has done. I said, and yet we've had the technology around making great supervisors and leaders for years,
mm-hmm.
and we're not implementing it in a successful manner.
Mm-hmm.
And it is extremely frustrating. And I think that, you know, one of my frustrations is that, you know, people are rarely, if ever, promoted into levels of supervision and management for skills that have anything to do with being good supervisors or managers,
mm-hmm.
right? People get promoted because they have tenure, because they're hard workers,
mm-hmm.
but not because they help to build teams, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily because they're good communicators, certainly not because they're good at recognizing others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continue to again, promote and to put into position individuals that may be, quote-unquote, hard skills. And by the way, I think that what we're talking about are actually the hard skills, but
mm-hmm.
that may have the hard technical skills, but not, quote-unquote, the soft skills that are really going to enable them to be successful.
How do we continue to get over this hurdle? Because I agree with you, and part of it is the fact that we've brought people into positions that they shouldn't be in, or we haven't provided them the support or the skills or the know-how. Perhaps we've taken it for granted that these skills are something we need to learn as opposed to just assume that people come by naturally.
Yeah, I have a vision. You know, well, one of my visions is certainly that within MBA kinds of programs that they'll begin to institute more human resource kinds of courses to teach this kind of material. And, you know, one day in my fantasy, I've opened up, you know, the Respect Institute to have people come and learn these kinds of skills. I will tell you, I'm just shocked, having worked with really senior executives, that even when they say, yeah, this is important, to say, well, I'm not sure how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to actually show that?
You bet.
To my folks.
You bet.
And it's, really, it's really disconcerting, quite frankly. You know, I will say in the RESPECT model, you know, not to go through the whole acronym, but the R is for recognition, of course. And one of the things that I'll say is, you know, in terms of evolution, our brains are not wired to see what's working. They're wired to see what's not working. Right. So if you go home at night and your window is open and it's normally shut, you're going to pay attention to that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. If you go onto the work floor and you see, you know, nine people there and the tenth person's missing, that's who you pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, our brains are really wired to, again, pay attention to what's not working. And the problem is that as a parent or a teacher or an employer, you will never get the behavior that you want by paying attention to the behavior that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fundamental. And again, there's a lot of things that we don't know in psychology. But one of the things that we know really well is how to provide strong, positive reinforcement to people.
Mm-hmm.
And just implementing some very simple skills to supervisors and managers can really profoundly change their relationship with their employees and their team.
Well, I completely agree, and Roy and I continue to talk about these things daily, if not more often than that, nearly every hour, for the same reason you do. And it's interesting that when you think about the challenges here, that people are biased or inclined, as you said, to look for things, the negative things, yet we know that those things aren't the things that are rewarded or that ultimately will change the behavior.
Right.
Another part that sticks out for me, however, is this, and that is that people have heard these conversations before, so listeners are going, man, you know, people tell me what I need to do, but let's be honest, my reality is X. Mm-hmm. And that reality means they're being rewarded for something that's completely different than what we're talking about right now.
Mm.
And that they're being promoted for getting the numbers regardless of the cost or for getting the results. And in fact, some people are saying, hey, if we focus on those things, then you're really not focused on the results. You know, if you focus on the emotional intelligence or those soft skills, as you will, even though there's lots of research to say that this is the greatest way to leadership and actually the greatest predictor to success,
right?
No. People aren't feeling rewarded for these things, so they focus on those things they're rewarded for.
Well, you know, I actually, because I've, as you have, I know we're preaching to the choir with one another here, and you know, one of the questions I'll ask people is, I want you to think about the individual in your life, the leader at any level that you have worked the hardest for,
mm-hmm.
for whom you have given the highest level of discretionary effort.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want you to think about the one you gave the least discretionary effort to.
You bet.
And now I want you to consider the extent to which you respected those individuals and the extent to which they respected you.
Yep.
And it's an eye-opener for some people. And what people really have to get, especially around the issue of recognition, is that the behavior that you recognize today comes back tomorrow in the form of initiative.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear people say, well, I don't have the time to do that, It's just mind-boggling to me, because what we're talking about here is a phone call, is a handshake, is a yellow sticky note, hey, great job. And by the way, if you ask somebody, hey, have you ever gotten a yellow sticky note from your boss that said, good job, okay, and again, talking to an audience of 100 people, and a couple people raise their hands, and I'll say, what did you do with it? And they said, I kept it. I kept it for years.
Yeah.
So what you have to get present to is that people will treat a yellow sticky note as some sort of a monument or testimony to something they did at some point in time that was worth recognizing. People don't frame their paychecks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
So it's amazing to me when people don't really appreciate the power of respect and recognition and what that gives you back in terms of the increased discretionary effort of your team.
Yes. Yep, I completely agree. You know, we have to take a quick break on this point, but when we come back, I hope we can at least explore, even for a moment, how recognition differs from the carrots you talked about before that don't work, you know, because it seems like we still do need some external motivators out there, but what are they? How does it communicate respect? In fact, for me, one of the biggest questions I always ask an audience is, does the recognition you do communicate respect? Does the recognition you do communicate respect? And if it doesn't, then that's when it's got to change. And frankly, because a lot of the recognition we've seen out there hasn't accomplished what it should be doing. And in fact, maybe even be patronizing.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Paul, thank you so much for being on the show with us. We're going to come right back with Dr. Paul Marciano to continue with the last segment on this show. But fantastic conversation so far. Really grateful you're here with us.
Thank you.
For Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Royce Anderson reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to continue our conversation with our guest today, Dr. Paul Marciano, and learn some final pointers on why carrots and sticks don't work. Now, I know you elaborated, Paul, to your circle of respect model, and I'm just curious a little bit about what those other drivers are and how leaders can focus on doing them.
Sure. So in my research, once I really got clear about the power of respect, and you can think about respect, you know, if you think about any great leader, and by great leader, I mean somebody who had great influence, and that meant they had followers, right? Because there aren't any great leaders that don't have followers.
Right.
I wanted to really understand better what are the behaviors that lead people to say, I respect and feel respected within this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've mentioned the, so respect is an acronym, and we've mentioned R is recognition. The second is empowerment. And empowerment doesn't mean just saying to somebody, you're empowered now, go do your job, as we might hear so often. It means really giving people the tools, the training, the resources, and especially the information that they need in order to be successful in their jobs. So, you know, we disrespect people when we just throw them into positions and expect them to perform. And then we know how many times those people don't last very long.
Right.
We respect people when we set them up for success by really empowering them. So that's the empowerment, the E. The S is for supportive feedback. And I have really gotten away from the idea of even offering, saying critical feedback or negative feedback. And one of the reasons that, quite frankly, is that I've never met anybody who's even comfortable doing that.
Right.
But the second reason is that if I really respect you, and I really, as a manager, and I really want to see you be successful in your job, then I give you supportive feedback. Now, whether that's a pat on the back or a kick in the butt, right, whether that is sharing with you something that would take the form of critical criticism, it's coming to you in the form of support, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, you know, right, I care about you and you being successful in this team, and I need to share something with you that just isn't going to work here.
Okay.
And when you do that, you don't make people defensive. You actually open up their hearing and their listening, right? And you do that in a supportive manner. So, again, when we respect people, we give them that kind of ongoing feedback. The P is for partnering, developing collaborative working relationships with individuals, starting on a one-to-one basis. So the individual employee knows that their manager respects them and that you have a collaboration, a partnership that you can count on. And then building that partnership within a team and then across teams and organizations. And one of the things that we all know, that no matter how big an organization, people start pointing fingers at one another and Coach Mike Krzyzewski of the Duke basketball has this great analogy. He says, you know, when we keep our fist closed, it's very strong. As soon as we open that up and start pointing our finger at somebody else, our team gets very weak.
Mm-hmm.
So when we respect our team members, we don't point fingers. We work collaboratively with one another. The second E is for setting clear expectations. And we know that one of the reasons that many expectations aren't met, if you ask employees, is they actually were never clear about them.
Right.
So really getting clear and specific around expectations with employees, not leaving them to guess at what they're supposed to be doing. The C is for consideration. And I'm just shocked, quite frankly, at the lack of consideration that individuals show one another in organizations. Some from, you know, basic pleasantries, holding the door open and saying good morning, to just following up in a timely manner on an email or a phone call. And I can't tell you the number of times that I have had an administrative assistant tell me how disrespected they feel because the big boss would just walk by their desk and not say anything, not say good morning or hello. I mean, these are things that really matter to people.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the T is for trust. And just like in any personal relationship, you know, there has to be a foundation of trust. And if that's shattered, you know, we're just not going to get anywhere, because it's very, very hard to respect somebody that you don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really, as I did the research, the drivers. And when I work with an organization, I look at, you know, where are they dropping the ball here? What aspects of these, if strengthened, could really increase the overall level of respect and discretionary effort shown by employees?
Mm-hmm. Well, these are very, very powerful drivers. And how have you found managers learn to acquire the skills that make up your respect model? I mean, how do you turn them on to this?
Yeah, so, you know, it varies widely, as you might imagine. I unfortunately have found that those at the highest level of the organization are often the have the least sort of emotional intelligence around this.
Uh-huh.
That they will often speak about how important it is to them that they're respected.
Mm-hmm.
How they feel like they show respect. And on doing an assessment, a sort of a 360-degree survey, how frequently it comes back that their employees really don't feel very respected. And so once they get that message, having already laid claim to the importance of the issue of respect, they're actually more open to and willing to listen to what I have to say.
Mm.
It's quite an awakening for a lot of folks. And really requires them really changing some of their habits. So it's really around behavior modification, behavioral psychology techniques that I utilize.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say one more thing. It's, for me, it's really about culture, right? So it's about the culture of the organization. That's the point of the respect model for me is what I refer to as an actionable philosophy. So just as though one may claim to be an environmentalist, and that leads to particular behaviors, somebody who drives a hybrid and buys groceries locally and recycles, right? The idea of the respect model is it's an actionable philosophy. If you live and breathe respect, if that's who you are and what you're about, that is going to lead to specific behaviors that you engage in with others, and not just with your employees, but as Ryan was saying from Wells Fargo, also the way that you interact with your customers and even your vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a lifestyle kind of issue, and it's all about culture, creating a culture of respect, because culture drives behavior, and behavior reinforces culture.
Yep, absolutely. I completely agree with where you're at, Paul, and appreciate what you're saying. I think what we're talking about here today is just how do we apply it and make it part of who we are, as opposed to simply being something that we put on the to-do list.
Yeah.
Right? How do we make it a way of being?
It's a way of being. And a really quick story. I was working with a young man who was extremely good technically, and they said his boss said, "Look, as good as he is, good as Jimmy is, I can't keep him here because of the way that he's treating other people." And so we were in conversation and talking about respect and how important it was. And we went out to grab a cup of coffee, and Jimmy was very rude to the waitress serving us. And I just looked at him and I said, "What was that?"
Yeah.
And he looked at me like a light bulb went off, and he said, "Oh, you mean I'm supposed to treat everybody with respect?"
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Like, that's it. Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, that is it. Paul, so, it has been really great. Oh, please, what were you going to say right there?
No, I was going to say it has just been an absolute pleasure. As you can tell, I could talk about this subject all day.
So. As could we. But, Paul, I want to make sure people get a second to be able to know how to get a hold of you. Where would they find you?
Sure. If you just go on the web, www.paulmarciano.com or carrotsandsticksdontwork.com.
Perfect. You know, it has been a real pleasure to have you on the show today. We are grateful for this conversation and love what you're doing out there and hope that we get to meet in person at some point.
I'd love to come to the conference.
Oh, well, we would love to have you there, obviously. It would be fantastic. Check it out and let us know. Maybe we'll see you in San Antonio this year. That'd be great.
All right.
We appreciate you on the show. Listeners, we appreciate everyone who comes on the show every week to hear the comments and the ideas and the pieces we're trying to share with people to inspire greatness. Roy and I constantly welcome feedback at feedback@realrecognition.com. Thank you for listening to Real Recognition Radio today. For Recognition Management Institute, and on behalf of Roy Saunderson and myself, Max Brown, keep it real. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.